was the last day before the football team of a large Midwestern university was to play its biggest game of the season. Unfortunately, the head football coach had just received the horrible news that the star quarterback had been disqualified by the dean for academic reasons. The coach went running into the dean's office to protest, and the dean said, "Well, we caught him cheating on a major examination this week." The coach demanded to know how they knew the quarterback had cheated. The dean said, "Well, he sat right next to an A student during the test, and on the first 9 questions, his answers were identical, word for word, to the answers of the A student." Well, not satisfied, the coach replied, "That doesn't prove he was cheating. Maybe he really studied this time, or maybe the A student copied from him." Well, the dean answered, "Actually, it was the 10th question that really did it. The A student had written, 'I don't know.' The quarterback wrote, 'I don't know either.'" As a student, I always knew that the best possible kind of test questions were those presented as multiple choice. "Our dog, who can't sit or stay, is afraid of balloons," could even get some of those answers right. After all, the correct answer is down there, somewhere, already written out for you. So even if you don't have a clue, you've still got a chance to pick out the right one. Unless you have one of those tricky teachers who includes among the multiple choices none of the above. Then you never know. Is the answer there? Is it staring you in the face? That none of the above option offers a degree of freedom outside the life of school, though. It doesn't ask you to have the right answer. It just asks you to know enough to recognize which answers are wrong. Advent is the season of getting ready, and most of us probably think that by now we know what we're getting ready for and how to go about making preparations. The Advent season is loaded with family traditions and timetables, and part of the joy of preparing is attending all of those eagerly anticipated upcoming events. What day do you get your Christmas tree? Or when do you put the lights on the house? What weekend do you bake cookies? And what's the last day of school before vacation? A part of us wants every Christmas to be filled with new joys and possibilities. That was what's so wonderful about having and watching children during Christmas time. But often a larger part wants Christmas to be comfortingly familiar, filled with scenes and smells and sounds that we've seen and smelled and heard before. One of our favorite Christmas songs is "I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas." And what's the second line? "Just like the ones we used to know." That little phrase, "just like the ones we used to know," is the essence of too many Christmas celebrations, I think. We revisit what we know when we don't open ourselves up to what we don't know. We're more focused on what God did than what God is doing now. In some ways, we're Advent know-it-alls, smugly self-assured about what's coming and where we're going to find it. Now, the season of Advent begins with a text that highlights, of all things, the end of times. All of Mark 13 makes up one long discourse by Jesus about the end of times. First focusing on the end of Jerusalem and the temple, and then moving on to more final endings. The fig tree image in today's lesson serves Jesus well because it was one of the few Palestinian trees that truly dropped all of its leaves in the fall. It went through an extended, barren, dormant period during the winter and then dramatically came back to life when it burst forth in bud and flower in the spring. Jesus' words here are all about change, all about a progression of time that's marked by observable changes and events. To keep vigilant watch is a charge that Jesus extends to all. All believers who await the end share this common command. Keep awake. Now, this week's lesson rattles our know-it-all cages. Jesus makes a startling assertion. First, he speaks of himself as the Son. That is, the Son of God. And it's his first and only allusion to his divine identity in Mark's Gospel. But coupled with this divine self-identification, Jesus declares that as the Son, he himself doesn't know that day or hour of the end of times. Now, if there's anyone who's known all the answers to all the hard questions, it was Jesus. And his confession here of not knowing his divine I don't know doesn't infer that he doesn't care. Rather, Jesus' response advocates a completely different agenda than knowing. Jesus relieves all of his disciples from the first century to the 21st century from the responsibility of knowing all the answers. What Jesus advocates his disciples focus their energies upon isn't knowing, but upon watching. Since neither he nor the angels, nor certainly any of us ordinary human beings, knows the day or the hour of the end of time, Jesus encourages all of us to watch and to wait and to wake up. It's only when we approach life from the posture of not knowing it all that we're stretched in love, in trust, in faith. Real love and genuine trust and spirit-filled faith does not know. It's in not knowing that love is born. It's in not knowing that trust is established, and it's in not knowing that faith is revealed. This Advent season, we need to take seriously Jesus' pronouncement that no one knows the day, the hour, the place of the Lord's coming into this world. Advent isn't just a season of preparing for all those looked forward to family gatherings and holiday traditions and even the church calendar events. Advent should always be a season of heightened watchfulness, wide awake expectations, of wide-eyed wonder at what God is doing in our lives, in our church, and in our world. We all enter the season of Advent not knowing when or where or how God is going to appear. The whole Advent story is about God being found in utterly surprising, unexpected circumstances. Christ is born in the world in a nowhere town called Bethlehem, in a smelly, dirty manger. Christ is born a tiny, helpless, poor, powerless baby. And you know, know-it-alls would never have found him in that stable. They would have never found him in the dark or in the manger. Where will we find God's entrance into the world this Christmas? I don't know. So keep your heart and keep your spirit ready at any moment for God's surprising entrance into your life and into this world. Amen.